Well, I suppose everybody wants to know what exactly the exit polls are saying, so let's not wait anymore and go straight to what the individual exit polls are saying. Remember, as I mentioned, we don't do these ourselves, but this is what the others are saying. By and large, it's the NDA, the Mahayuti, which has an edge in Maharashtra. The magic mark is 145. There are 288 seats. And if you go through this, then it's just a few who are giving the MVA a bit of an edge. The Dainik Bhaskar, 135 to 150, is giving the MVA, the Mahavikas Aghadi, an edge. But generally speaking, and also electoral edge is giving them a bit of an edge. But generally speaking, it's the other way around. It's the NDA which is doing well. And you can see that over here. People's Pulse, second over here, 175 to 195. The poll diary goes up to 186. The Times Now JVC poll goes up between 150 to 167 for the NDA. And P-Mark says 137 to 157. So as you can see, by and large, and there are a couple of outliers over here in terms of these polls, by and large, all of these are indicating that it is the Mahayuti which is going to be ahead. Let's have one more page of these exit polls which have come out. Everybody is getting up onto these exit polls. Let's just move on now and take a look at what the situation in Jharkhand is. This is one final sort of look at what everybody. Matriz is saying 150 to 170 for the NDA. Let's move on now to Jharkhand, give you an idea of what's happening over there. And I can tell you right up off the top that it is a lot closer this time around. Axis My India has the India Alliance up between 49 and 59. Remember, the magic mark they're seeking is 41. So with 49 to 59, they'd be winning these elections. Dainik Bhaskar says it's much closer, 36 to 39, in favor of the India Alliance. Electoral Edge says that they've just about squeaked through to a majority, has the India Alliance. Whereas if you take a look at Matriz, it's 42 to 47 in favor of the NDA. P-Mark says 31 to 40 for the NDA. The India Alliance, 37 to 47. People's Pulse quite clearly going the other way. So it's all over the place. And that's been the case, as we've seen. So who's right and who's wrong, we're going to know on Saturday. So just wait for all of that. We'll be joined now with Neeta Chaudhary in the studio, Liz Matthew with us as well. But we've got Sanjay Kumar who joins us and Tuhin Sinha, the national spokesperson of the BJP. So let me go across to Tuhin Sinha first. Hi, Tuhin. So the big question, I suppose, for you would be, do you accept what you're seeing in Maharashtra? Because it is a little bit all over the place. By and large, it appears that the exit polls are indicating that the Mahayuti is ahead. Are you confident that you're going to be winning these elections?
Well, good evening, Vishnu. Good evening, everybody. You know, because the exit polls had gone wrong on last two occasions, I think by default, almost all the exit pollsters tend to play extra safe and they kind of hammer in the point that it's a close election. But as far as our estimates are concerned, in both the places in Maharashtra and Jharkhand, it's going to be a comfortable win. And I will tell you the reasons. In Maharashtra, we had a very layered campaign. You know, while we focused on social welfare schemes, Ladki Behen Yojana, Ladka Bhai Yojana, we spoke about ideological issues, Ek Hai Toh Safe Hai. We spoke about $1 trillion economy target, which we have given for Maharashtra. We spoke about the Mumbai infrastructure transformation. Towards the end of the election campaign, especially the last 10 days or so, the Mahavikas Aghadi was only and only obsessed with Muslim reservation, the ulema support, the All India Personal Muslim Law Board support. So, you know, they had a very myopic point of view. And I think the difference only expanded in the last 10 days or so. As far as Jharkhand is concerned, again, because in the last 24 years, you have not had majority government or a significant majority government. And it's a strange thing that in the last 24 years, none of the parties has even won 45 out of 81 seats. But this time is going to be different because I have been on ground. The level of anti-incumbency, the level of angst against a non-performing, corrupt and a compromised state government is unprecedented. You know, and the issue of Santhal Pargana, the issue of illegal migration, mind you, is not confined to the Santhal Pargana area only. It ricochets, it echoes in the Kolhan region in South Jharkhand. It echoes
basically,
in the heart
let me,
of
let me interrupt
Ranchi,
you
which
for
is
a moment.
The
you're basically saying you're
migration.
Confident the BJP will be doing well and your alliance, the NDA, will be doing well in both Maharashtra and
absolutely,
Jharkhand.
Absolutely.
All right. Hold on. Let's go across
I'm
to Sanjay
sticking
Kumar.
My neck out. Yeah.
Now, my friend Tuhin, you would always say that you're putting your neck out because that is what you have to do, defend your party at any cost, right? So there's no surprise
in
your saying
that. I didn't need to do that in the 2024 Lok Sabha elections. The exit pollsters did that.
All right, okay. Sanjay Kumar, you've had a look at these numbers and they're as confusing as ever. They're all over the place. What a lot of people tend to do is, I find every single time, the margin seems to be going up and up. So everybody tries to say that, I had a lower margin and an upper margin as well. But by and large, do you agree with this? Do you have any views on these exit polls, first in Maharashtra?
No, you have already mentioned, Vishnu, that it's all over. In a sense, some polls are indicating a victory for Maharashtra Vikas Aghadi and some polls are indicating a victory for Mahayuti in Maharashtra. And same is the case for Jharkhand. Some polls are indicating it could be a BJP government, NDA government, and some polls are indicating it could be Congress, JMM, Gathbandhan Alliance. So the difficulty is, when you say the question, do you agree with this poll? Which poll do I agree with? Very difficult. Yes, many polls are indicating that there is in the rain, which suggests that it is a tight election. My own sense is that, yes, it is a tight election in both the state, but tight to what extent? I think the better reading of all these polls would be at least to look at the vote share estimate. And if I get a sense of what is happening on the ground in both Jharkhand and Maharashtra, I get a sense that, yes, in both the state, the difference between the winner and the runner is going to be in the range of 3-4%, which can convert in terms of seats very, very differently. But my own sense is that, okay, look at Maharashtra first. In my opinion, in Maharashtra, Mahayuti seems to have a slight edge over Mahavikas Aghadi. And in Jharkhand, it is the NDA which has a slight edge over the JMM Alliance. But these are provisional figures from the studies which we are doing. The final Maharashtra has gone to poll today and 38 constituencies of Jharkhand has gone to poll today. We would be doing our post-poll data collection as we normally do the day after polling takes place.
Okay.
So that's my sense. That's my understanding about what's happening on the ground.
All right. That's interesting, Sanjay. So you're saying that the NDA has a small edge in both cases, Jharkhand and in Maharashtra. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Deepak Kesarkar, cabinet minister in Maharashtra. He's with the Shiv Sena. He joins us now. He's a candidate from Sawantwadi. Thank you, Mr. Kesarkar, very much for being with us. Do you believe that you're going to be comfortably ahead? You've had a look at these exit polls now. They're all over the place and that's problematic. But do you believe you're going to win these elections?
I have fought the election as a MLA as well. And I could sense the people's feelings and will be through comfortably. That is what I feel.
You know, this is a battle of identity at so many levels, Mr. Kesarkar, in these elections. It's Sena versus Sena. It's NCP versus NCP. If you look at the parties which contested last time around and this time around, the alliances that they were with, it's all different. At one level, it's quite confusing for voters. People would want to know, who is the real Shiv Sena? Who is the real NCP? Do you believe that this election is a referendum on that?
What I feel is that last Lok Sabha election, we had a clear mandate about Shiv Sena, because we have fought for 13 constituencies against each other. We won 7 and Sena won 6. But the major share of their votes had come from minorities, and that is the voter, which were votes for Congress and not Shiv Sena. So the original Shiv Sena votes have come to us and they could win only because only because that those minority votes were with them. You can reconfirm this.
No, so that is your analysis. No, my question, and that's a fair analysis, but my question to you, Mr. Kesarkar, is do you believe that for the voter, right, who may not have access to that sort of analysis as you are putting out today, it's actually going to be about who they see as the real Sena, right? And who they see as the real NCP. Do you believe that that is perhaps what this election is all about? Or do you believe there are other issues? What is this not the major issue, the identity of the foremost political parties in Maharashtra?
This question arises because the ideology of Shiv Sena was at stake.
Mr. Kesarkar, that line with you is a little bad. We'll come back to you in just a little while. Go ahead, Mr. Kesarkar. Yeah, go ahead. No. We'll fix that in a while. Let me ask that question to Nija. Is this a battle? Is this a referendum of the Sena and of the Senas and the NCPs?
Look, I think it'll decide whether Uddhav Thackeray represents the Sena or it's Eknath Shinde or whether it's Sharad Pawar or Ajit Pawar. That, of course, the numbers will tell us that story. I think, but if there is one word that describes this election, according to me, Vishnu, it is women. Women are the central factor that have emerged as a vote bank, possibly maybe the decisive factor in both these states.
Jharkhand, it's been incredible. I'm not going to jump to Jharkhand right now, but carry on with your point.
But, you know, if you look at Maharashtra, there was a very clear Maratha-Muslim-Dalit equation.
Yeah.
That was a winning one in the Lok Sabha elections, which gave the MVA 30 out of 48 Lok Sabha seats. Now, that advantage should have continued in an assembly election, because that was a national election. Mr. Narendra Modi was bidding for prime ministership, and there were national issues. Still, this local alliance managed to get that kind of numbers. Now, the Mahayuti has done course correction, has been catching up. And if there's one factor at the risk of oversimplification, it is Ladki Behen Yojana, which has given 7,500 rupees in the hands of women. And Vishnu, I traveled through Marathwada and Mumbai, and I did not meet a single woman, not a single woman who would not receive that money.
So the
and they're so excited. Dalits, OBC, Maratha women, they're so excited. And they're putting it to use to augment their income. Some is getting a sari from Surat. Somebody is getting a cart to sell vegetables. Somebody, you know. So
this is the model that's worked. We've seen it in Madhya Pradesh.
That's right.
Where there was incredibly speedy implementation. It translated into very strong votes for the BJP as well.
But it wasn't spent on drink.
No, it wasn't.
Liquor. It was put to use, and therefore a feeling of empowerment amongst the women. Now, if there is a countervailing force, despite anti-incumbency, despite charges of corruption, a large number of people who talk about it, prices rising and so on, if there is a countervailing force which has helped beat back incumbency, what the outcome will be, I don't know.
I just want to talk a little bit more about, cash and promises, as it were. Both the Mahayuti and the Mahavikas Agadi have promised women various schemes. They've got schemes of their own. And that's wonderful at a level for the reasons which Nija said. But Maharashtra is a state which at one level is in financial distress. This comparative business of offering doles at one level for votes, because ultimately that's what it's about, comes at a great literal cost, right? And somebody's going to have to foot that bill. Is that a problem?
Of course, if you talk to the leaders, the chief ministers and even the cabinet ministers, they would definitely tell you how this is a big issue. If you look at every state, like for example, Karnataka to Telangana to Maharashtra to even Himachal Pradesh, we can see that a smaller state, the kind of financial burden it is there. But, This has become a trend, and nobody can actually, the BJP Prime Minister has call against it. The parties against it, he has called it like, it's not the way. But yeah. he said that his party wouldn't go for any waivers. But even then, the party, like immediately after his speech in Jharkhand, the BJP had to offer similar SOPs in Himachal. Mm-hmm. So, there were suggestions from the chief ministers, even the opposition ruled chief ministers, that there has to be, the election commission had proposed that there has to be every state party, in every state, the parties, when they come with this kind of welfare schemes and the poll soaps, they will have to keep in mind the financial state, status of the state and see like how much you can offer or how much you can spare for this, after the salaries and the pensions and the state's debts, paying, what kind of percentage you can offer for welfare schemes. But the parties have been, including the BJP, in Chhattisgarh, if you say they have won with this SOPs for women, the cash the SOP for women, Madhya Pradesh, of course, Shivraj Singh Chauhan was like very popular. Yeah. Like I remember asking people, so if Mama ji de rahe, to unko hi vote dena hai.
Right.
So this was, people would definitely, women, because we know the situation, the families, like Nirja mentioned, the
sure.
alcoholism and other, the women don't get to spend money. So when the women get, like, even if it is 1500 rupees, they are very happy.
It's genuine empowerment, and
yes.
empowerment not just for the women, but for the family. Let me go back to Sanjay for a moment. Sanjay, given the ongoing demand for Maratha reservation, how will any party address this critical issue without, for example, alienating other communities? Or does one not think of that or think that far ahead in the heat of an election campaign?
No, I think, Vishnu, you have picked up one example, but there could be several examples of that kind.
Yes.
The kind of promises parties are making in their manifesto, what we call freebies. I'm not sure whether parties have ever thought carefully that a state which is running into red when it comes to finances, if they come to power, how they are going to manage these promises, if they manage to give the promises, how they are going to manage the finances of the state. So you're right, Vishnu, when parties are saying if they come to power, they're going to make sure that Marathas get reservation. But then it would require a lot of effort. Like, if first, you will definitely annoy other communities whose benefits of reservation would be curtailed. If you're not going to do that, then you have to, get into this whole business of, because there's a ceiling of 50%, you can't go beyond the 50% reservation bar. So a lot of effort has to be done by the party which comes to power in order to fulfill all the promises, including the one which you have mentioned, giving reservation benefits to the Marathas. It's not going to be an easy task for any political party or any alliance which comes to power.
Mahesh Tapase, chief spokesperson of the NCP Sharad Pawar group, joins us. Thank you, Mahesh, very much for being with us. Do you accept the, by and large, what these exit polls are saying? I presume you'll say no, because they're a bit all over the place. What are your thoughts on what is being projected? It seems to be the NDA.
I appreciate the effort taken by all the people who make the exit poll. They go and interview the viewers, interview the voters. But if you see in Lok Sabha election also, we saw, exit poll which said that 400 par. We saw the stock market skyrocketing, and then on the day of election, the stock market plummeted, 31 lakh crores wiped off. Modi ji could not cross 250 seats in the country. So I, with all due respect to the people, sometimes it may work, sometimes it may fail. But as of now, if you ask me what is the ground reality in Maharashtra, we have extensively canvassed for our candidates. Our leader, Sharad Pawar ji, Supriya ji, Jayant Patil ji, and so many Congress President Rahul ji, Uddhav Balasaheb Thackeray ji, Aditya, everybody has reached the last voter, exposed the wrongdoings of the current incumbent. And we are very certain that on 26th November, our chief minister will take oath, our government will take oath, and we will get Maharashtra back on track.
Mahesh, one of the key issues, and the obvious question to ask you is about the Pawar versus Pawar, the NCP versus the NCP, or the family feud, as it were, that's taking place, and that you know, applies to the Shiv Sena as well. But let me ask you instead about agrarian distress, because with, you know, the backdrop of a low procurement price for soybean and cotton, which has really been a key issue this time around, has any party done enough in terms of guarantees to suggest, you know, that they have a genuine solution to this issue?
BJP is not looked upon as an agrarian party. It's looked upon like more of a urban political party. And with Eknath Shindeji being in the MMR region himself, so they are not looked upon as a party which will look at the agrarian crisis or the agriculture is. But yes, the Congress, the NCP, Sharad Pawar, and we have been time and again talking with the government. We have raised our concern. Ajit Pawar, yes, he has a lot of background in agriculture. He is one person who we thought he will do some justice after he joined the government. But unfortunately, the government is driven by a political agenda. It is not driven by a welfare agenda. There are issues of drought, there are issues of excessive rains, payments were not made, and it's still balanced. I mean, this government, so one point agenda the government has was to just come back in power, hook or by crook. So that is how, whatever manifestos they have been making, whatever
okay,
things
let me
they
get Tuhin Sinha of the BJP to respond. Tuhin, specifically on the plight of farmers, for example, in Vidarbh and Marathwada, do you believe that the BJP or the Mahayuti has a genuine solution?
You know, one of the schemes, irrigation schemes, Jal Yukt Shivar, which we had organized, which we had initiated in the first term of Devendra Fadnavis ji, that was a game changer in terms of ensuring water in the fields throughout the year. But that was derailed by this government of the Agadi government. So, you know, it's too rich of them to say that we don't think about farmer issues. Almost all of our schemes, you know, that includes that of the central government. When you talk about Nal Se Jal program, when you talk about Swachh Bharat, obviously the agrarian, the rural people have been the beneficiaries. But yes, in the Vidarbh region, the issues are peculiar. It needs a localized approach, which we have provided again. The fact is, you know, people know today that if you bring an Agadi government, it will wreak financial anarchy upon the state. There are so many instances from so many different states that people are extremely skeptical of even listening or of even giving a fair chance to the Agadi. And I was hearing Sanjay ji, when Sanjay ji says that you have a small edge, it means a comfortable edge. So the difference, mind you, this time in both the states has been fairly significant, and that will be reflected on the result day on 23rd.
You're putting words in Sanjay's mouth. Sanjay, small
I
edge,
want to
edge,
add in here.
No, I did say. I don't think Tuhinji is making wrong statement about what I said. I did say that NDA has an edge, small edge, both in Maharashtra and in Jharkhand as well. And I could this small, if I put it in numbers, I think the range is 3-4% vote share. But then anything between 2-4% vote share in favor of the NDA alliance,
okay,
the Mahayuti alliance in Maharashtra and then the NDA alliance in Jharkhand. That's my estimate at this moment.
Nijap, I want to focus a little bit more on the agricultural issue because it's so critical. A perennial issue is that of farmer suicides. Elections come around, there are SOPs which are given to farmers, and this is forgotten completely. Farmer suicide in Maharashtra is an epidemic almost. It's a tragic situation which has been going on for more than a decade. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that this is a key issue in these elections?
Absolutely, it was a key issue. You rightly said soybean.
And cotton.
And also onion prices in Nasik, you know, export duty that they reacted to, which they corrected. But it was too late in the day. Mm-hmm. And I think for a state which gives the largest tax revenue, for a state which contributes the highest amount to the GDP mm-hmm. and the national economy, a state which is the hub of, which is an industrial center, hub of finance, for it to have, you know, the other side of the story is the farmers, continuing farmers' suicide.
Right.
And this economic distress. And if this does not have a bearing on the election outcome, then we've got to think again about, you know, what we are about.
Mahesh Thapase, who is your chief ministerial candidate?
Wait till 23rd, we'll announce that.
It's actually... Don't you think you went into these elections as with that being a really big disadvantage in a country where people vote very often in the name of the leader.
If you see our sabhas, nobody even questioned us who is going to be a chief minister candidate.
I don't believe that. Come on now. Surely that would be a question.
Who have been questioning me? Mahesh, tell us who is your spokesman, who is your chief minister? I mean, let me tell my friends of the BJP and of the other opposition parties of the NDA that we will announce. Let us get the comfortable majority. 23rd is not far. It's just 2 days time.
Sanjay,
so like how we had Uddhav Thackerayji as a chief minister face, suddenly we'll see something might just crop up, you know. Right. You never know what will happen in politics. But never mind, I just wanted to inform my friend Tuhin Sinha. As far as the Jal Yukt Shivar scheme was concerned, the Comptroller and Auditor General, he drew a lot of objections to the scheme. You have to understand, this is at the fag end of Devendra Fadnavis's tenure as chief minister. So you can't say that it benefited the state at large. There was large-scale fiscal mismanagement amounting to corruption. The proposed activity as far as water retention and water irrigation, the whatever was proposed was not achieved. These are the findings of the government agency. We as an opposition party did, of course, spoke about the same at length.
Okay. Sanjay, Western Maharashtra has been an NCP stronghold, Vidarbh, Marathwada. They've shown discontent with this government. What are, you know, just for a larger audience, the regional contours that will define the outcome of these polls?
See, we have been talking about what has been the issue. If we even think of looking for an issue which was sweeping across the Maharashtra, we will fail to do that because there's no single issue which was sweeping across Maharashtra. There are regions where you would find farmers' issue as an issue, as a big issue among the farmers of Maharashtra. In some urban pockets, especially in Mumbai, this whole issue of the industries which should have been set up in Mumbai has been shifted to Gujarat. So it also has resonance among small sections of people, especially the urban middle class in Mumbai and around those regions. Price rise, unemployment is a big concern. I'm not sure whether these are the issues on which people have voted in this election, but these are the big concerns shown by people of Maharashtra. And these could be the price rise and unemployment, especially price rise. This seems to be a much bigger issue in Maharashtra compared to unemployment. And you would find a different trend if you look at other states, whether it was Haryana or some other state. These are the two issues about which you will find people talking about across Maharashtra. But also some in sections of voter, you will also find attraction about this whole issue of Hindu needs to be united, butting it or cutting it. So right. Different issues having resonance among different sections of people in different regions.
Tuhin, has there been, you know, any effort to balance the narrative of Marathi pride with inclusive development that's so needed in a diverse state like Maharashtra?
Well, I would say there has been a brilliant cohesion of ek hai to safe hai with all the social welfare schemes which have been executed in the last 4 months. In fact, in the last 4 months, 96,000 crore worth of schemes have been executed. And the beauty is that, you know, unlike a Congress state government which would have gone bankrupt, Maharashtra continues to do well on almost all parameters. You know, it continues to be the number one state when it comes to FDIs. In fact, the first FY25 FDI was 53% of the entire India's FDI, 70,000 crores. So I think, you know, it's a cohesion between our ideological commitment to the Hindu community mixed with the deft execution of social welfare schemes on the ground.
Would you like to come in on that point? Marathi pride, was it a factor in these elections?
Yes, I think after Haryana, what we have seen, you know, Haryana, we all know, like at least we made the assessment after the election that it was a consolidation of certain caste against the dominant caste.
Yeah.
So here also what the BJP was trying, of course, we know this was the first assembly election after this disarray happened with this one party going, you know, to another party going, you know, whatever combinations and realignments have happened. So there's parties like, you know, when the BJP, they knew that there was an issue with their support base in Marathwada. So they have tried to consolidate the other caste groups and other communities, you know, while trying to kind of make some impact with their this religious agenda and as well as the welfare agenda. The schemes which they have announced, it has, of course, in the lower strata people, it had gained a lot of traction. The people have come out and spoken about it. But, you know, if you ask any educated working women, mm-hmm. you know, another section in the urban areas, in states like Maharashtra, there are a lot of, you know, areas like that, where the women were not very happy with the freebies or like the cash dole outs. Instead, they wanted employment. So in employment and you know, Sanjay just said, like the price rise, it was an issue. Even in Jharkhand, I have heard women talking about those issues. The youngsters talked about that issue. But again, you know, we have seen in the past or in Uttar Pradesh also, the youngsters were talking, even the BJP supporters were talking, sure. whether this is getting reflected in the voting pattern, you know, whether they are just going with the welfare schemes and their, you know, identity as a communal, I mean, you know, the community identity. That is something that we have been seeing, that this is what is happening in at the end of the day when the election happened, when they go to polling booth, the idea which is actually guiding them, sometimes it differs from what they have been talking. But, you know, increasingly with the price rise, you know, with everyone, every woman, from the middle class to like the lower strata people, the poor people who are getting this LPG, you know, the free LPG connection, they are also talking sure. about the prices. And but that is why the BJP has understood it. That is sure. why they are, you know, offering that they have reached.
Give me a second. I want to go across to Nija. In light of what we've seen in Jammu and Kashmir, and certainly in the case of Haryana, not so much Jammu and Kashmir, but in Haryana, where the BJP has done so well, there was a certain narrative which was built after the last elections that, you know, this is a resurgent opposition. They're doing very well. They did quite well in the last elections. But then Haryana came and stopped them, right? So in terms of the battle of narratives, and I don't know how strong a factor that necessarily is, do you believe that the BJP and its allies, the NDA, is on the ascendancy?
Look, if they, and that's why Maharashtra is of utmost importance. You know, it's not just another state that mm-hmm. this side or that side will win. For the BJP and the NDA to win Maharashtra state, like Maharashtra, second largest in the state, with, as I said, the financial hub, and coming at the time that the election is, if they win it, it gives them a huge psychological advantage nationally, that the Lok Sabha results were aberration, a right. setback. You can forget about it. It's business as usual. Things are going to go the way they were going in the second term of Mr. Modi, and that will be nationally as well as globally. So Maharashtra is of utmost importance. But okay. for the opposition also, suppose
Absolutely.
If they get
it works
the state,
both ways. Yes.
that means Haryana, you can forget.
Right.
And we are going in
can
that direction.
Just one line too.
Please go ahead.
I think, you know, this election was more important to Rahul Gandhi than Prime Minister Modi, because Prime Minister Modi is having his third term, and even the elections we have seen, the Prime Minister is traveling outside, unlike in the past yeah. where we have been focusing on even in state elections. Mm-hmm. This time, I think it is Rahul's rebirth had happened as a leader, and if the Congress and the India Alliance is going to kind of lose both state, it will be kind of a stunted growth. Like, you know, he'll have to start from the, you know, like square one. That is one issue that I think this election, as the for the opposition, it was both the elections were more important to the opposition than to the government, because they already with the Haryana election, they have proved that we are on the, you know,
sure.
we are still on the track.
All right. What I'd like to do now is turn our attention for the rest of the program to Jharkhand. It's another fascinating election. We've got Dr. Mahua Maji, the MP, Rajya Sabha MP of the JMM with us. Dr. Maji, thanks very much for being with us. Give me a moment as we go through what the exit polls are saying, and then I'll get your reaction to all of them. So let's pull up what the exit polls are saying in Jharkhand. And it is very, very close indeed. And it really depends on who you believe. So if we take a look at the exit polls, Access My India gives the India Alliance between 49 to 59. The NDA between 17 and 27, remember the majority mark is 41. So Access quite clearly gives the India Alliance an edge. If you take a look at the next set of polls, this is Access My India, as I mentioned to you, Dainik Bhaskar at 36 to 39, so just short of the magic mark for the India Alliance, but 37 to 40 as far as the NDA. So neck and neck over there, 32 for the NDA Alliance and 42 for the India Alliance for, as far as electoral edge is concerned. So a big edge over there for the India Alliance. Matrice says 25 to 30 for the India Alliance and seems to suggest that the NDA will be coming into power. So so that's what we see. So Dr. Mamamaji, how would you see these exit polls? It is pretty close. You know, some are in your favor, some are not. Are you confident you're going to win on Saturday?
Actually, हमारे CM Hemant Soren ji ने अपने Facebook account से Access को ही post किया है, share किया है, और Twitter में भी उन्होंने किया है, और हम लोग Access के का जो exit poll आया है, उसी पर भरोसा करते हैं, क्योंकि इसके पहले के भी इनके जो आंकड़े रहे हैं वो ज्यादा विश्वसनीय लगते हैं बाकी के आंकड़े के बनिस्बत, क्योंकि पिछले हरियाणा चुनाव का भी एग्जिट पोल गलत साबित हुआ था कई जगह से, और इसके अलावा लगातार लोकसभा चुनाव में भी आपने देखा जो एग्जिट पोल्स थे मैक्सिमम वो धराशायी हो गए, इसलिए एक्सिस पर ही हम भरोसा करते हैं, और एक्सिस ये कहता है कि जेएमएम को 53 और एनडीए को 26 सीट्स आने वाले हैं झारखंड में, और अदर्स को ओनली 3 सीट्स, तो हमारी तरफ से हम लोग बात करें, और जमीनी हकीकत भी यही है क्योंकि हमें अंदर की भी सूचनाएं मिलती रहती हैं, जितना काम हमारे मुख्यमंत्री जी ने इंडिया गठबंधन की सरकार में किया है इसके पहले कभी नहीं किया था, झारखंड में भाजपा की सरकार रही है 2000 साल से लेके करीब 17-18 साल तक उनके कई कई मुख्यमंत्री रहे हैं, लेकिन झारखंड पिछड़े नीचे से वो पिछड़े राज्यों में दूसरे पायदान पर था, और अभी इतने कम समय में 2019 के बाद जो काम झारखंड में हुआ है कोविड के बावजूद उससे यहाँ की जनता बहुत खुश है, और जो हमें जो सूचना मिल रही है उससे हमें पूरा विश्वास है कि झारखंड में फिर से हमारी इंडिया गठबंधन की सरकार आएगी।
डॉक्टर माजी, हेमंत सोरेन जी का गिरफ्तारी और उसके बाद ट्राइबल वोट्स में एक शायद मोमेंटम बढ़ चुका था, आपके ख्याल से उनका अरेस्ट, उनका गिरफ्तारी और उसका असर ट्राइबल वोट पे आपके पक्ष में काफी वोट्स, काफी सीट्स आएंगे?
हाँ देखिए, ये तो मुद्दा है ही कि सभी जानते हैं कि ईडी के पास कोई सबूत नहीं था उनके खिलाफ, जो सुप्रीम कोर्ट ने इस पर चर्चा की और बाद में उनका बेल भी इसी आधार पे हुआ कि ईडी बिना सबूत के उन्हें 5 महीने तक जेल में रखी और लोकसभा चुनाव में जनता से दूर रखी, उसका आक्रोश तो था ही। इसके अलावा मैं बता दूं कि झारखंड में जब भाजपा की सरकार थी 2019 से पहले, तो उसमें यहाँ पर लड़कियों की तस्करी, नाबालिग लड़की, आदिवासी लड़कियों की तस्करी चरम सीमा पर थी, पन्नालाल जैसे ऐसे ट्रैफिकर हुए थे जिन्होंने लगभग 15,000 लड़कियों की तस्करी अकेले की थी, यहाँ खूटी, सिमडेगा, गुमला जैसे रूरल एरिया से लड़कियों को ले जाया जाता था, प्लेसमेंट एजेंसीज थी बहुत सारे, और उनको दूसरे राज्यों में ले जाके उनका शोषण होता था। माननीय हेमंत सोरेन जी ने उन लड़कियों को न सिर्फ वापस लाया बल्कि उनके लिए तरह तरह की योजनाएं लॉन्च की, मैया सम्मान योजना, सावित्री बाई फुले किशोरी समृद्धि योजना, पोटो खेल योजना, फिर ये मुख्यमंत्री रोजगार सृजन योजना, फिर स्किल डेवलपमेंट करा रही है, पलाश ब्रांड नाम देकर उनसे उन्हें कुटीर उद्योग से जोड़कर उन्हें ब्रांड नेम देकर उनका मार्केटिंग की व्यवस्था करना, अबुआ आवास योजना और तरह तरह की योजनाओं के माध्यम से उन्हें ग्रास रूट लेवल पर लाभ पहुंचाने का इन्होंने कोशिश किया। यहाँ के झारखंडी युवतियों को, युवकों को विश्व के सबसे महत्वपूर्ण संस्थानों जिसमें लंदन स्कूल ऑफ इकोनॉमिक्स भी है वहां पर भेजना, इस तरह का काम करके उन्होंने धरातल पर काम किया है, इसके लिए भी उनको इस बार फिर से मौका मिल रहा है।
डॉक्टर माजी, एक और सवाल आपसे पूछना है, इलेक्शन हो चुका है डॉक्टर माजी, क्या आप कैंपेनिंग शायद अगला इलेक्शन के लिए शुरू कर चुकी है, पर मुझे आपको ये पूछना है कि इस मुझे आपसे ये पूछना है कि इस बार एक इनसाइडर वर्सेस आउटसाइडर डिबेट एक डोमिनेंट थीम था झारखंड में, आप इस इशू को कैसे देखते हैं?
देखिए ये तो भाजपा का एक जुमला है, आपने शायद घुसपैठ वाली बात कही है
जी.
कि घुसपैठ का मुद्दा बनाकर बीजेपी के बड़े नेता लोग झारखंड में घूमते रहे. लेकिन मैं एक सवाल पूछती हूँ, अगर चाइना से कोई हमारे राज्य किसी भी राज्य में घुसपैठ करता है तो ये किसकी जिम्मेदारी है, केंद्र सरकार की कि राज्य सरकार की? केंद्र सरकार विफल रही है बॉर्डर को बचाने में, दूसरे राज्य से अगर कोई घुसपैठ कर रहा है ऐसा उनका दावा है बीजेपी के नेताओं का. और दूसरी बात कि हमारे झारखंड का कोई भी ऐसा बॉर्डर नहीं है जो इंटरनेशनल ये से लगा हुआ है, असम के रास्ते से कोई आ सकता है, इसकी जिम्मेदारी भी असम के मुख्यमंत्री की है जो कि या केंद्र सरकार की है जो यहाँ आकर झारखंड में पॉलिटिक्स कर रहे हैं. तीसरी बात ये कि अगर संताल परगना में भाजपा के बहुत सारे सांसद विधायक तमाम लोग हैं, अगर कोई घुसपैठ किया है तो उनकी होम मिनिस्ट्री क्या कर रही है, वो क्यों नहीं उन्हें अरेस्ट करते हैं?
Arrested. Good luck to you, Dr. Maji. We'll know who's winning the elections in the next few days.
Thanks
very much. Thoin, would you like to respond to that? Firstly, on the entire insider-outsider debate and the allegations made by the BJP that they were outside influences, they were infiltrators in Jharkhand. Why do you believe that that would be a dominant theme in Jharkhand?
Well, Dr. Maji would be living in abject denial if she thinks that this is not an issue, because I have spent nearly 9 to 10 days in Jharkhand in the last 1 month in two installments. And I can tell you that the entire issue of illegal migration is not confined to Santhal Parganas. It is echoing in parts of Ranchi. It is echoing in even the Kulhan region. Now, the point is, yes, illegal migration has been a problem in the country from the time we became independent. In fact, you know, there is evidence of Dr. Gopinath Bordoloi, the first CM of Assam, having written to Nehru way back 75 years ago. But the point is, there are two state governments, TMC and JMM, which have shown unnatural alacrity, unnatural haste in naturalizing these citizens by doling out Aadhaar cards, by doling out voter IDs. That's a fact. And in the Santhal Parganas area, if you travel on the ground, not only that, they have also encouraged the illegal migrants to marry, you know, tribals, and by default, by proxy, control certain sarpanches and certain villages in that region. So this is a big issue, no doubt. And in fact, this is going to be the deciding factor in Santhal, a traditional stronghold of the Jharkhand party. You will be surprised if we, you know, to see BJP winning 8 to 9 out of the 14 seats in the Santhal region itself.
All right. Sanjay, how will the political landscape in Jharkhand be affected by the rise of leaders like Kalpana Soren? She's become a fairly dominant leader. Jairam Mahato. What specific voter groups are they potentially mobilizing?
But no, at this moment, Vishnu, I can only imagine that the leaders like Kalpana Soren would have mobilized the women voters in their favor. At least women voters would have got attracted towards them. Finally, when the results come, when we know what is the verdict, we would be able to do a much deeper analysis of that. But yes, two things. One, the women voter would have got more enthusiastic about elections, about politics. They would have taken more part in the election. Plus, the youth, because these are relatively younger people in politics compared to, you know, the senior generation. So I think these are the two things which I would see as a new element in Jharkhand politics. As of now, these are the two visible things which I can see happening in the Jharkhand politics.
Liz, would you like to come in on, you know, the numbers which have seen a very high voter turnout for women?
Mm-hmm.
There is massive enthusiasm among women in Jharkhand particularly. This is good news at so many levels, right? It's not just democratic inclusion or political inclusion, but it's also wanting to be included in the process of development of the state for their own community, for their own homes. But in terms of seats and vote share, how could this be perhaps the decider?
See, I think around 30% or 31 constituencies, women voters are ahead in terms of voter number in Jharkhand, if I remember correctly. And, you know, the BJP had a special plan to focus on women. And also we have seen, you know, how the parties have fought with each other for, you know, announcing these packages and the money, like, you know, just 200 rupees more than the other party. So that they also have seen that. But I mean, like, you know, another factor which I have seen, you know, among the urban population, there was this some kind of inclination for BJP, especially because Prime Minister Modi is still popular among the women there. But among the tribal women, it was not as much like the other sections of the society. Another factor which I have seen this time, which I have seen a kind of the similar pattern in Madhya Pradesh also. The women, you know, even I think tribal women were more empowered in their houses than other communities. The women do tell us, like even the women who are standing, you know, at the roadside to get picked up for the labor, you know, that there are labor chowks, you know, in Ranchi
right.
also.
Right.
Even those women, when I ask them, like, will you vote on your own or will you obey, I mean, will you go what your family say? Immediate reaction was, no, why should we?
Sure.
We will be. So that element, you know, that independence and the freedom to, like, choose, that thing has come to. So I think, to an extent, both Hemant Soren's party, JMM, and the BJP have kind of recognized it. And that is one reason that they have focused, both have focused. And I think in the Kolan region, it extensively travels. So there also, the women voter will be the deciding factor.
Nidhi, the Congress's role in the alliance, a weaker partner over here, does that make the India alliance substantially weaker going into these polls?
I think so. And their own allies have privately complained about this. The JMM was very unhappy. They gave them 30 seats, 41 to JMM, 30 to the Congress, and the rest between RJD and CPIML. And they felt the Congress had not put its best foot forward given the number of seats it had been given.
Mm-hmm.
And that Rahul Gandhi's rallies and other leaders' rallies could have been many, many more. And given the favorable, you know, there is a sympathy for Hemant Soren. The BJP did poorly in the tribal belt in the Lok Sabha election. There was much to build on, even though there was anti-incumbency and corruption charges, etc. So I think that's a correct, assessment that the Congress could have done much, much better in terms of campaigning.
Right. We've heard that quite frequently.
They released the manifesto just before us.
Jammu and Kashmir, or certainly Haryana and Jharkhand as well. Look, we'll leave it over there. I'd like to thank you very much for being with us. These election results come up just a couple of days from now on Saturday. And in our super fast election system, we'll be talking to Sanjay and figuring out whether that edge that he's talking out about, whether he's right or he's wrong. He usually tends to be right. But we'll leave it for the moment. I'd like to thank you all very much and good luck to him with these elections. We'll take a short break. Coming up after that, one story which I felt, which has nothing to do at all with these elections, but one which people around the world are really watching, Rafael Nadal's last match. We've got a special story that's coming up right after this.